Today's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 56. Okay. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, his breath, his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now, there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you here. And also if you're joining us online, welcome. Please have that Bible reading from Luke chapter 23 open in front of you. We're going to spend some time looking at it. But before we do, allow me to lead us in a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning with expectation that you would speak to us through your word. And Lord, not only speak to us, but Father, you would work in our hearts, our spirits, that Lord, we will respond to you in a way that honors you. So we commit this time to your gracious hands and the leading of your Spirit for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, after being betrayed by one of his friends, disowned by another and abandoned by all of them, after going through a twisted trial where he was wrongly accused and condemned to death, after being beaten, lashed, mocked, and spat upon, Jesus was nailed to a cross between two convicted criminals. The passage that was read to us this morning is about the depth, the reason, and the responses. The depth, the reason, and the responses. And that's what we're going to think about this morning as we meditate on this Good Friday. First, the depth. Luke, who is writing this book, who is a historian, who is also a doctor, says in verse 46, after saying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," Jesus breathed his last. He basically stopped breathing. Notice a couple of things that happens about this death. After all that he had to go through, Jesus could have been really sad, right? He could have been really angry, annoyed, frustrated, disappointed, hopeless, fearful of what's going to happen. But what do you hear when Jesus says in verse 46, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What do you hear? You can yell out. What do you hear from these words? Trust? It was finished. Relationship. And these were words of hope, weren't they? They're not words of a man who is defeated. They're not words of a man who is afraid to die. He's a man who knows that death will not be the end. He knew that death will be defeated, that there is resurrection. The first thing about the death of Jesus is it was victorious. Although he died, his death was victorious. Jesus was victorious at his death. And the second thing that you will notice in this death, in his death, is that he was in full control, wasn't he? He was in full control. Yes, the religious leaders, the Roman soldiers, as brutal they were, they did everything in their possible to kill Jesus. A normal criminal wouldn't last the journey to the cross. He would die on the way. But Jesus didn't just make it to the cross. No, he was hanging on the cross for 3 whole hours. This bloodied Jesus. Have a look at verse 46 again. Jesus died when he had to. He died when he wanted to. He gave up breathing when he knew his mission was accomplished. He died when he knew that his death has achieved what it was supposed to achieve. Which brings us to the question, why did Jesus die then? The reason. What was the purpose? What was the point of Jesus' death? Now Luke doesn't tell that directly, does he? Instead, what he does is he tells us about 2 strange things that happened and Jesus died. To help us understand what was happening, the reason. The first thing is there was darkness, wasn't it? Verse 44, Luke says, from 12 noon until 3 in the afternoon, there was this pitch darkness. Sun stopped shining. Not for just a few minutes, not for just an hour, no, for 3 whole hours. Stopped shining. Now people have tried to explain this away by saying, well, there was a sandstorm that day, or there was a solar eclipse that day. But if that was the case, these careful historians like Luke wouldn't have missed it, right? In fact, none of the gospel writers tell us about anything of that. Because for them, it was supernatural. Out of the ordinary. It was a miracle. It was a sign from God. And when we read the Old Testament, we find darkness was often a sign of God's judgment. It was his displeasure, his anger, his wrath over the wickedness of people. In fact, in Amos chapter 8, verse 9, God allows Amos to look forward for this day when God would judge the world of the wickedness. And he predicts that this would happen. The sun would stop shining in the middle of the day. In other words, this strange darkness that covered the whole land was a witness to what was happening on the cross. God was judging the sins of the world. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, was being judged. God was pouring out his wrath, his anger on Jesus, not for something that he has done. He was sinless. He was perfect. But as Isaiah, one of the prophets, 200 or a few hundred years before Jesus' death, he says, all of us have gone astray like sheep, have wandered away from God. We have been wicked and we have turned away from God. So what does God do? He doesn't just put our sin under the carpet, or he doesn't forget it, and he doesn't ignore it. What does he do? No, he lays him on Jesus. He lays all of them on Jesus. In fact, the whole world's sin is placed on him. On the cross, Jesus became our substitute. He bore our punishment. He paid our penalty. He died our debt. Darkness, the death of Jesus, was God judging Jesus for our sin. God judging Jesus for our sins. And there was a second strange thing that happened that day. The curtain was torn into. There was a torn curtain, wasn't it? Now, in the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, as people entered through the doors, they were confronted with this tall curtain, this huge curtain. And it was said to be 60 feet high, 30 feet long, and the width of it was the size of a palm of a man. A thick curtain. Now, what was the purpose of this curtain in the temple? Now, if you were here with us a few weeks ago in the first book of Genesis, we were looking at it, and we looked at it, didn't we? That the first couple of chapters, when God created the heavens and the earth, humans had a perfect relationship with God. There was free access to God. But in Genesis chapter 3, we find when the first man and woman disobeyed God, they were banished from God's presence. Banished from the garden. And God even places a cherubim with a flaming sword to guard the way to the garden. It is to say that the relationship between God and man has now been broken. And far away from the garden, in the Jewish temple, the curtain was a visible reminder that the relationship between God and man is now broken. There was no access to God's presence for sinful humans. But Luke says, just before Jesus' death, this curtain was torn in two. As Bev picked it up, Matthew says it was actually torn from top to bottom, which means he's trying to say it didn't happen because someone went to the temple and then just tore it from the bottom. No, it happened from above. God did it. God did it. As one of the preachers picked it up, God kind of goes into his own temple, and this is divine vandalism, isn't it? He goes into his own temple and tears the curtain apart, rips it apart. The torn curtain in the temple could only mean one thing, right? We have access to God's presence. The only thing that stopped humans from having a relationship with God, sin is now dealt with. It is judged. And as the writer to the Hebrews says, we can now enter into the most holy place, the presence of God because of Jesus' death, because a new way has been opened for us. See, friends, religion says there is a curtain that stops you from accessing God's presence. And it says you need to do all sorts of things. Offer sacrifices, say special prayers, do special rituals, light candles, do good deeds, so that you can somehow go beyond this curtain. When Christianity says God himself came down and ripped it apart. Now we have access to God through Jesus. You don't have to do anything, just believe in Jesus. Now we can have a relationship with the God of the whole universe through Jesus. Why did Jesus die on the cross? There's judgment, and there is access, isn't it? Jesus bore our sin on himself. He bore God's judgment on our behalf. And then he gives us access to God's presence, doesn't he? He gives us access to God's presence, judgment and access. And this is the great good news of Good Friday, isn't it? That our sins have been dealt with, God has judged them, and we are forgiven, and now we have access to God's presence. Isn't that the good news of Good Friday? The reason that we celebrate, even though it is a death, because we have been forgiven. And we have access to God's presence. So how should we respond to such a great good news, friends? How should we respond? In the remaining verses of this chapter, Luke tells us four ways people responded on that Good Friday. This is how four groups of people or individuals responded. Now I'm going to briefly talk about these four responses. But I'm also going to, after each response, I'm also going to give you the opportunity to respond and pray. Because today, it's not about them, it is about us, isn't it? How do we respond to this great good news? First, in verse 47, we find the centurion, the Roman centurion. Now, he was this brutal, tough guy, wasn't he? He was heartless. He was a professional killer. But he was an outsider, wasn't he? He was an outsider. He was a non-believer. He was a Roman. He didn't know anything about the scriptures or the promises or the covenants of the Jews that they knew. He wasn't born to a Jewish family. But Luke tells us, seeing what happened to Jesus and around Jesus, he praised God. And he said, surely this was a righteous man. And Mark, who wrote a similar account, a similar record of Jesus' death, he says the centurion actually believed that Jesus was the Son of God. An outsider, seeing what happened, believed in Jesus. Perhaps this is you this morning, an outsider. You weren't born to a Christian family. You haven't been to a Bible study. You haven't been to a Christianity Explored course. Perhaps this is the first time you are hearing about Jesus' death and what it means and what it has achieved. This is the first time you've heard the good news of Jesus. So I want to give you a moment to respond silently. Would you believe in Jesus' death for the forgiveness of your sins and the access that he has given to you, to God? Would you even commit to investigate more of this Jesus? And if you have believed, then take a moment to pray for an outsider in your life, a non-believer, that they would have the opportunity to see Jesus and believe in him. Shall we do that for a moment? Amen. The second response that we see in these verses is in verse 48. You find the spectators, don't we? The spectators. They came to see the show, a man being crucified, nailed to a cross, this prophet, this miracle worker hanging on a cross. They came to see this. And how did they respond after they saw what they came to see? They beat their breasts. They were shocked, perhaps. They were traumatized. Maybe they were angry, and maybe they were sad. They were feeling guilty. But then they went away. Sad. And probably after a few days they forgot all about Jesus. You see, they didn't really understand the death of Jesus, right? They didn't really understand what was happening. Perhaps that is you this morning. You feel sad, you feel angry, you feel guilty to hear what happened to Jesus. Maybe each time when you read the story of the crucifixion or the death of Jesus, or when you see the movie Jesus or whatever movie that is there about the life of Jesus, you feel emotional. And each Good Friday you come and you hear, you reflect, and you go home very sad. And even perhaps the songs that we sang this morning might have felt you, oh, it is a sad day. Slow songs. But then you go home without ever understanding the meaning of his death. That his death has judged your sin, my sin, on that cross. And his death has given us access to God's presence. And you haven't really accepted that Jesus went through hell to give you heaven. So I want to give you a moment to respond silently. Take the opportunity to acknowledge that Jesus went through agony and pain and experienced death on your behalf. And if you have already acknowledged this, would you take a moment to pray for someone who still hasn't got it? Pray that the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts and mind to see Jesus. Can you do that now? Amen. Now look at verse 49. We've made the third type of response. We find those who knew Jesus in verse 49. You see, like the spectators, they too saw everything that happened. But they didn't go home. For obvious reasons, they had to watch from a distance what's happening at the cross. Even in verse 55, we are told that this group of women went to the tomb and saw where they laid Jesus. You see, even in this darkest moment, even when Jesus breathed his last breath, they kept looking at Jesus, weren't they? They didn't leave Jesus. They kept looking at Jesus. In other words, friends, they didn't lose sight of Jesus even in the darkest moment. I mean, perhaps that's you. Perhaps that's you. You are a follower of Jesus. You believe in Jesus. Perhaps there is a bit of darkness in your life right now. Maybe there's sin in your life that is debilitating you. Maybe there's a difficult season with sickness or financial hardships or uncertain future or relationship issues. Maybe the wars and the natural disasters have unsettled you a little bit. Would you take a moment then not to lose sight of him? Would you take a moment then to pray and ask God to help you to keep Jesus in your sight, to not lose sight of him and what he has done and who he is? And perhaps pray for someone who you know is going through a difficult season, that they won't lose sight of Jesus. Can we do that? Can we do that? Amen. Finally, in verse 50 to 54, we find the final response. We meet Joseph of Arimathea. And Luke kind of gives us a bit of a profile of him, right? He was a respected man. He was from Arimathea. He was a religious council member, a good and upright man. And he was a guy who was waiting for God's kingdom. And he actually didn't give his consent when the council was making decisions to crucify Jesus. Perhaps he was a believer. He believed in Jesus. Perhaps he was a secret believer who didn't really want to be exposed. But how did he respond to Jesus? Verses 51 to 52. He was bold, wasn't he? He goes to Pilate and he asks for the body of Jesus because he wants to give Jesus a proper burial. Now that is risky, isn't it? Now, he could have been punished as well. And he went and took down the body of Jesus. Imagine that. going to the cross of Jesus and with all the Roman soldiers around, and maybe there were a few of his colleagues around them, what would they think of him? Imagine being ridiculed for siding with Jesus. Imagine losing his post or his position in the council. Losing his status because he followed Jesus. And finally, he was very generous, wasn't he? He took it down, he wrapped Jesus' body with linen, and then he placed Jesus' body in a brand new tomb. And the Bible says, in one of the Gospels, says it was his own tomb. It was costly for him. He was generous. In other words, friends, I wonder whether here Joseph is actually living out his faith. He's living out his faith in public. Perhaps that is you this morning. You've been a believer for a while, but the way you live, the decisions that you make or have made, the way you speak, think, doesn't really show that you are a believer. Jesus died so that we might have new life, life of faith, faith that is reflected in the way how we live. Perhaps that's not happening in your life. So would you take a moment to respond and consider your ways of living? You might want to ask God to show areas that you need to change. You might want to ask God to help to break some sinful habits that you might have. Ask God to help you to live out your faith boldly, to be generous, to live a life consistent with your faith. Maybe you might want to pray for the person next to you or someone that is struggling in their Christian journey, that they would have strength, wisdom, and clarity of how to live as a believer, to live out their faith. So could we do that now? Amen. See, friends, at the death of Jesus, God dealt with our sin by judging Jesus on that cross. And he gives us access to his presence through Jesus, so that we might believe him. We might understand and acknowledge that his death is for us and be thankful, so that we may not lose sight of who Jesus is and what he has done, even in the darkest moments of our lives. And not just lose sight of him, but to live out our faith as a follower of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for this morning. We thank you for the message of the death of Jesus. As gloomy, as dark, as terrible as it is, Father, we thank you that in Jesus' death, you judged our sin, my sin. And Jesus was willing to bear the punishment, the death, the penalty that I should have borne. He bore it. And Father, we thank you that now we have access to you through Jesus. We can have a relationship with you. The curtain is torn apart. You welcome us as sons and daughters. And this morning we pray, please help us to believe this. Help us to continue to acknowledge that and be thankful for the cross and the death of Jesus. And help us, Heavenly Father, not to lose sight of who Jesus is and what he has done. And help us, Heavenly Father, to live a life that is consistent of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And as we do, may you be honored and glorified. We ask this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.